So what are you going to do after you finish doing the case studies and before dinner? What you're going to do is have the opportunity to go to two rounds of education and update sessions, updates on recently issued standards. The breakout groups for those two, you've already made your picks. We've slotted you in. The breakout groups for those two are either in that handout I was just waving or in the supplement that you got this morning, which shows the rest of the breakouts for the second group, so you can see which ones that you are scheduled for. And I'm sorry I'm bouncing back and forth. When you go to do the breakout sessions this afternoon, please take the materials with you if you don't have a copy that you were working with in preparation for the meeting, because I think it will be helpful for you to have copies of the case studies with you. Then the two rounds of update sessions will start at 3 p.m., and you can see which rooms you're in. I'm looking at Michelle. All of the breakout rooms are on this floor for all of this afternoon's sessions, both the case studies and the update sessions. And then the last thing is, if any of you have been wondering what kind of gambling we are encouraging with the cards on the back of your name tag, what we're actually doing is having assigned seats at dinner. So when you go into dinner tonight, if you can look for the table that has the large-scale version of the card that's on the back of your name tag. If you are not going to be able to join dinner tonight, it would be very helpful for us if you could let Gloria know, even if it's as simple as giving back her card in case we have to rejig any of the tables. And I think that's it. So bring your case studies. You have the sheets for the breakout. 3 p.m. for the update and education sessions. You are promised coffee in between them. And we are starting dinner, the cocktails for dinner. Michelle is going to tell me in just a second at? So dinner starts at 7. Do we have drinks beforehand? Do we have drinks during? It wouldn't be bad to turn up a little early, and you can practice your questions with Michelle Prada, so don't forget about that either. Okay, thanks very much. Hand over to Steve.
Okay, thank you, Mary. So this afternoon we're going to get you to do some work yourselves. After a morning of listening to various speakers, it's now your turn to put in some hard work and help us on this particular project. You heard this morning that in our agenda consultation, primary financial statements has been confirmed to be one of our key research projects, part of this Better Communication Initiative. We haven't had any board meetings really on it yet, because we haven't even yet scoped the project. Whilst the staff have been doing some preparatory work, and indeed some board members have been helping them, we've been having meetings with various user groups and individual buy and sell side investors in particular. And in fact, last week we had a meeting with Bloomberg, a key user of financial statements, to tell us about how they process IFRS data. Whilst we've been doing some of that preparatory work, the board itself hasn't really started. So the first decision is going to be how to scope the project, and we're going to be taking that decision later this year. So what's going to be included? Are we going to focus on the income statement, the whole of the financial statements? Is it the top half of the income statement, the bottom half, OCI? What are we actually going to try and focus on? Is it subtotals? Is it disaggregation? Is it how the order in which things are presented? Lots of different things that we might want to consider. So your job this afternoon is to help us in that scoping exercise. There's been, of course, much debate in this area outside our agenda consultation, particularly the whole area of non-GAAP measures. And inevitably, what we're going to look at in primary financial statements is going to overlap with some aspects of that. And indeed, Hans has been pretty vocal on some non-GAAP measures. You may have seen some of his speeches in the past, and this is a good example, an extract from one of those speeches of what he's been saying, and about him recognizing that this is an area that perhaps we need to do some work on. So the particular aspect of primary financial statements that we want to talk about this afternoon is that top half of the income statement. And we've called it operating profit simply because it's a relatively common term. So some of you might think of EBIT, adjusted operating profit, core operating. There's lots of different terms because, of course, there are lots of different subtotals that companies provide because, well, IAS 1 doesn't really tell you very much. IAS 1 does say that additional subtotals are permitted, in fact required, if they're necessary to understand the financial statements. But it doesn't mandate a particular subtotal. It doesn't define any subtotals. But we know, of course, that subtotals in practice are very, very common, whether they're described as results from operations, operating profit, EBIT, or whatever it is. There is generally some sort of subtotal presented by many companies before the pre-tax profit, excluding certain items of income and expense. So we want to investigate whether it's worth our while investigating whether we should attempt to mandate an operating profit subtotal. And if we are going to investigate this, what approach might we take? So we're hoping that your participation in the breakout sessions and the feedback that we get will help us deciding whether this is a good idea or not and how we might actually go about it. So the case study is going to ask you to discuss what you think should be the main characteristics of a subtotal, were we to ask for one, and have a go at applying the characteristics that you so decide to a case study. So we have a set of financial statements, and we have some items that we've identified of particular relevance that we think will be of particular relevance to your evaluation of operating profit. And we're going to ask you to come up with a number for operating profit for this particular entity. Of course, operating profit is a really important number in financial statements for investors. Investors that are valuing businesses based upon valuation multiples, whether they're multiples based on earnings or multiples based upon EBIT or operating profit, and also as a key input in DCF measures. Many years ago, when I was an analyst, I constructed many DCF models, and invariably the first line of that DCF model would be operating profit. In fact, it would be an operating profit less taxes, and then you would adjust for all the various items after that to derive cash flow measures. Operating profit was also a key metric to use within valuation multiples as well, and in particular, enterprise value multiples that reflect that operating result. This is a little bit about an enterprise value DCF. This is further uses of operating profit in terms of assessing operating performance and trying to distinguish operating performance from other aspects of the performance of the business, particularly the results of financial leverage and the like. So it's very clear that investors make use of these subtotals, but should we just let them get on with it, supply them with the information, and they can make whatever they want in terms of operating profit, or should we in attempt to try and bring within IFRS this type of subtotal and maybe facilitate their better use of this information through defining, explaining, and requiring perhaps such a subtotal to be used. So, the case study. We want you to provide evidence to the board as to whether it is possible for us to require an operating profit subtotal. Is this something we should pursue? If it isn't, what should we do instead? Maybe we shouldn't do anything on presentation of financial statements. We're going to give you a statement of profit loss for a manufacturing company. Now, I realize that operating profit can mean different things in different sectors. So I don't want you to start talking about insurance and banking. Let's try and resist the temptation to say, oh, but this is too difficult because what about financial companies? Let's at least try and keep it simple and focus purely on a manufacturing business such as this one. And we're also going to provide you, we have provided you in the presentation, with various different income and expense items that are not included yet within this statement of comprehensive income. So we want you to decide whether these items should be included or not included in a measure of operating profit. There's a lot of flexibility to this, and it could end up in total chaos, but I'm relying on the staff and the leaders in each of the groups to try and keep it focused. The operating profit measure you come up with could take various different forms. I'm sure you're aware that it could just be a simple pre-tax profit, add back interest expense. It could add back a lot more. Some people have more than one operating profit. Some might have an operating profit that is pre-exceptional items, post-exceptional items, and the like. Guys, have I missed out the polling questions in here? For some reason, it didn't seem to come up. Ah, okay. I thought I was going to come to it in the presentation. But that's fine. I'll finish the introduction and then I'll do the polling questions. Yeah. And in fact, I think I've already finished the introduction on this particular slide. So the polling questions could come right now. So let's have polling question number one. Right, you've got the idea of the case study and what we're trying to do. I don't want to go any further because I want to maximize the amount of time that you spend in, maximize the amount of time that you spend in the case study itself. But we thought we would ask two polling questions at the beginning of this exercise, and then we're going to ask you the same questions at the end of the exercise and see whether your opinions have changed. So firstly, do you think we should include consideration of operating profit and or similar subtotals above tax, so this top half of the income statement, should we include this within the scope of the financial statements project? Would you like to vote now? Okay. I thought you might say that. It'll be interesting to see whether your success or otherwise in the next hour or so changes that result. But that is consistent with particularly what we've heard from investors, that we do need to do work on that top half of the income statement. Let's go to polling question two. So one of the key things in this is, so if we do try and work on operating profit, how? And we've put three different possible alternatives about how we might approach the definition of operating profit. Should we have a strict definition, like defining an insurance contract? Or should we have something that's more principles-based and requires judgment, so results from ongoing trading activities, I don't know, making it up. But something that's principles-based with some examples, perhaps, as to what might be, what might not be included. Or should we allow management to tell it through their own eyes? So more like a segment reporting type approach. Right, pick one of those. Vote now. Well, it's safe to go for the middle option, isn't it? Right, we'll take note of those results and we'll see whether they change perhaps after the case study itself. All right, everything clear? Any questions? There are staff members dealing with primary financial statements in the room. You have a chair of the session as well who's been briefed as well. So questions in the rooms? Would you like to go off and start the case study now then?